How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Good morning. And, well, yeah. Tony, the studio's a mess here.
Yeah, that's what Brittany tells me all the time. I was going to go to Mackinac Island. WILS wanted to be there again to broadcast live. You were just telling me there may be no politicians up there.
Well, we currently have sessions scheduled for that Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And that's the last week of May, I believe, that it's scheduled. And we're looking at finishing up the budget that week as it currently stands.
Well, I think half our guests when we were up there, and we talked with more than 50 people over the 3 days that we broadcast. Half of them were the leading legislators in the state. So if you guys are there, what am I going to talk about?
I hope we can make some adjustments because I think the conference is a great networking opportunity. Mm-hmm. You do learn an awful lot. And I think as you saw last year, Tony, people work up there.
Well, the Mackinac Policy Conference is slated for 3 days in the end of May, and you mentioned it's usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they've changed it to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And I believe they changed it because they have a race schedule in Detroit that Saturday, so the Detroit Chamber had to get back to Detroit. Mm.
I had yesterday on the program Ann Scheiber, who wrote a piece for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, and basically she talked, this reminded me of the story that daycare providers had to join a union and pay union dues, and it was kind of done on the sly. Well, we have another situation, which
home
is just
health care workers also have been unionized during the Granholm administration. What happened was they created an organization called the MQC3, the Michigan Quality Care Council, and through an agreement with the Tri-County Office on Aging, formed an organization and said that we are now public employees, which technically I believe is illegal, and then said, since you're public employees, you're also now union employees and you're paying union dues. So over the last, I think, 4 or 5 years, they paid about $28 million in union dues. Since the bill was introduced in the spring of 2011, an additional $4 million has been paid to SEIU, the union that's involved here. And what House Bill 4003 does is, I think, puts in statute, which is currently should be law, and that is only the legislature can determine who is a public employee through the state of Michigan.
All right. Now, this was your bill.
Yes.
It went through the House.
Went through the House, the now, committee process, and the floor.
And I got to make it clear that we have been in contact. I have two different sources for the SEIU. No one has returned calls, so we're hoping to get their side of the story. I always find it a challenge when I can't find, you know, a phone number, a brick-and-mortar building, names, but I was able to do that. So we're trying to get in contact with them. But basically, there are people who are on disability who are getting money. They're in a union. They didn't know that was going to happen, and they're having union dues extracted from their checks, and they weren't aware of that either.
And if you talked with Ann, if you go back a little bit, when this was first formed, they were actually receiving 1099s, and yet they were still union members, and they still had union dues being taken out of their...
How'd that happen?
I have absolutely no idea.
It sounds like a scam.
I won't comment on that. We're still trying to figure it out. We've been calling for well over a year now, trying to find out who the employer of record actually is. And that's difficult. Nobody really wants to talk to you. They keep shuffling you to somebody else. But mysteriously, at some point in time, after a couple years of receiving W-2s, everyone was transferred over to 1099, receiving 1099s. They now receive W-2s. They're still unionized. Union dues are still being taken out of their check. I'm not complaining, or we're not trying to do away with the MQC3. What we're trying to do is do away with the union dues being paid because I feel that was done illegally and should be stopped.
Well, how was it done if it's illegal?
It was done over the Granholm administration, and actually you can't get a clear picture as to actually how that actually happened. And that's where the Mackinac Center has really played a key role, as they have been the organization that has investigated this and really put a lot of pressure in trying to find out what the truth is.
Now, they're accused of being right-wing, if you will, and Republican and conservative, Yet, they're calling out the Republican-led Senate because this bill, even though it's out of committee, they just haven't, it's been stalled for a little bit, if you will.
Well, we did pass it out of the House. It went over to the Senate, and Senator Mark Jansen, who's chair of the committee in the Senate, passed it out of the committee within the Senate just before the holidays. And Senator Jansen was great to work with, and I want to actually thank him, Tony, for giving the bill a hearing. But they are very busy. We have had an awful lot of things that really probably had to be dealt with right away. The Highland Park school system was something that took an awful lot of time. We passed that about 10 days ago. I don't think it stalled in the Senate. I think Senator Randy Richardville and Senator Arlen Meekhoff, who is the Senate Majority Floor Leader, take this issue very seriously. I think it's something that they definitely are going to be dealing with. And I think you'll see within the next 2 months or so, this will be on the Senate floor for vote.
So what happens if this bill passes? What will it do to the union and the union dues?
It'll stop the collection of union dues because the people who are providing quality care assistance to disabled people will no longer be allowed to be referred to as a public employee, so then they won't be, which is legitimate. They're not a public employee. They're not receiving the benefits of a public employee, except that they're being charged union dues. So the union dues will then stop.
Because in essence, these people are being compensated for taking care of people, but they're not an employee of the state, and they're not getting benefits and so on and so forth.
No, they're not receiving any state benefits of any type, but yet they are paying the union dues. And that's being taken out of their check.
Now, they won't automatically be taken out of the union if they'll still be members of the union.
But the state won't be taking the union dues out and automatically paying that over. Yes.
Now, you know unions are going to accuse you of trying to break up unions and keep them from doing their business and helping the people out that they serve.
I guess what we're looking at is the process that was followed here, Tony, a few years ago. And was that a legal process? Was it a legitimate process? And is this a legitimate unionization of people who I just don't feel really receive the benefits, nor should they be paying union dues?
Representative, if you look at the menagerie of little bills that seem to kind of take power, rights, however you want to word it, because the way it's termed on one side of the aisle versus the other may be different, but the unions are claiming that Republicans are trying to bite away, chip away at their power base, at their influence, at what they call serving the people that they serve.
And I disagree with that. I think in some cases I had a bill that came out and it prevented basically to use government resources to make political contributions. In other words, through payroll deduction. But it wasn't aimed only at union members. It was across the board. You couldn't use payroll deduction to make a contribution to any other organization either. And I think it's really trying to use government resources for the proper purpose. We also passed a bill where you couldn't have a payroll deduction to pay your union dues, and that was for teachers. But it's a government resource being used to assist an outside organization. And we're trying to be very consistent with that so that if it's a government resource and resources are tight for government today, we should use it for a government purpose.
All right, two questions for you.
Yes, sir.
From your perspective, is the administration of the governor, are the Republicans trying to make Michigan a right-to-work state, and would you support that?
You know, I think the governor has made it very clear he doesn't want to see a right-to-work bill on his desk, and he doesn't want to sign it. He's made it very clear, and I think the lieutenant governor I just heard in the last couple of days was agreeing with that, saying that they see that as a divisive issue. I think we should have the discussion, and Mike Shirky has a bill that he'll be introducing to have that discussion here in the state of Michigan, and I think that would be very profitable for everybody.
All right, we talked with John Gallagher about the Matty Maroon and the judgment from the judge as someone who has a big part in transportation and transportation committee. What's your take on that, and is this going to help the process move forward to get another bridge from Detroit to Windsor?
I don't think they're really connected, but I do, and I'm very pleased that we're finally going to get a closure to the Gateway Project so that can actually be opened. There's a lot of legislators currently in Lansing who will not vote for a new publicly owned bridge until the Gateway Project is complete, And we can really see how that actually functions, how smooth it will work once it's completed.
But you're one of the people who at this point in time are against the bridge, because even though we are told that Michigan dollars won't pay for the bridge, this money is all going to come from Canada, and it's going to be collected from tolls of people who use that money. You want to make sure that people aren't coming back to you in the House and in the Senate saying, geez, we need some cash. We underestimated this whole situation.
Well, I've got to correct you in one. I've never come out opposed to the bridge.
Okay.
But what I have done is ask a lot of questions, and I won't come out to support a new publicly owned bridge until those questions are
answered.
But
you still doubt if the money's going to be there.
I have definite concerns that long term this type of a public-private partnership will be profitable and will be able to pay for itself.
Now,
yes,
you're in a minority. A lot of people think this is good. It creates a lot of jobs. It helps with our infrastructure. It creates more access for imports and exports. And that, hey, even if it takes longer than the agreed upon time to repay via tolls Canada, it still will be repaid.
Yeah, I don't buy the jobs argument. If we're going to build a bridge because it'll create 3,000 or 4,000 jobs, why don't we build 5 bridges? That's not why we would build a publicly owned bridge. We would build it because there was a business necessity for it, and that it actually had a very specific reason to contribute to the Michigan economy. And those are the kind of questions I'm looking for to get answers to.
All right. Thanks for coming in studio.
Tony, thank you.
Glad your knee's getting better.
It is getting better.